To have you here today. We are beginning a series here entitled Thanks and Giving, leading up to and even the Sunday after our Thanksgiving holiday, and just a reminder to us of how much we have to be thankful for in this country, but especially how much we have to be thankful for as a Christian. We want to just continue to share in some of these things. I wanted to point out those three gentlemen that spoke for us, or for me while I was gone, plus Coop. Coop's not a young guy anymore, but I wanted to point out three of the younger ones. Landon Zwick spoke for us. I appreciated that. Colton Bierbauer. And then for chapel service, Austin Snyder spoke to the kids on behalf of our Veterans Day. Him being in the armed services shared with them. And so we thank you for those three young guys. Think there's preachers in the future there for some of them, or all of them. And then Gary covered last Sunday morning, so we're thankful for that. It was a good time. We got away down there and heard, especially with Rick Mathena, did an Acts presentation, and then Carrie Allen, and then Bill Wines Sr., Bill Wines Jr., and then another gentleman that I had never heard before by the name of David Lucas. But we had a good time of fellowship, and it is always good to be back home, although it is fun to get away. So as we look here at thanks and giving, the harvest season here is a metaphor for the spiritual life. We're taught how sowing seeds of faith and good deeds can lead to a bountiful spiritual harvest of blessings. And so I thank Josh for those first few songs this morning, especially that went right along with our message. But however, as we all know from our own gardens or our own flower beds, to leave them unattended or left alone to themselves only leads to disaster. And I know that this is how it goes during the spring and into the early summer. You're able to keep those flower beds looking good and nice. And then camp season comes along, right? And you go away and you're not able to keep up with the weeding and things of that nature, being gone sometimes more than a week at a time. You come back and it's just a reminder to us how you, in your physical gardens, have to stay on top of things. How much even more of our spiritual gardens we have to stay on top of things. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says this in verse 6. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Now, there was some time back, even the spring, that I did a message on really the law of sowing and reaping. This is not only a thing that is found in Scripture, but just is a practicality of everybody that's ever planted a garden, or those farmers out there that raise the crops for worldwide consumption, that if you do not plant, you will not reap. Sounds pretty simple, but some people, you know, want to keep that in. So let's say you have all those seeds and you like making, breaking down those wheat seeds and crushing them down and making flour because you love having fresh bread every day. But if you don't take some of those seeds and save them back and plant them, you won't have a harvest to be able to do it again. And so what we want to kind of look at this morning is some of those ideas and putting those into our spiritual life. But this passage of 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6 really is a relevant passage for us today as well. Focus on generosity beyond money. Recognizing that includes giving time, talents, and compassion to others. Make giving a joyful, personal decision rather than an obligation. When you just change that simple thought in your mind, all of a sudden, giving becomes joyful. When we don't make it an obligation, but we make it a personal decision to give joyfully, totally changes our idea. Understanding that your cheerful giving reflects your gratitude and our trust in God's provision. To implement this, actively look for opportunities to help within your congregation, your community, to mentor someone, to volunteer your skills. Too many times we have a whole lot of people that have a whole lot to offer that keep it all to themselves. That's keeping those seeds back from yourself, that you're able to enjoy them, but you're missing out on the law of sowing and reaping. Or simply offer up support. We live in a world that is hurting. And as the old phrase says, hurt people hurt people. And so what the church needs to do is to be those friends and family to those in the world that, and even in the church, that are struggling. And so what we need to understand is we as Christians need to cultivate a mindset of abundance. We've shared this before, that just us simply having been born in the United States of America makes us of the top 3 richest percent of all the people in the world. God bless America. And God has blessed America, and we need to continue to pray that God will continue to bless America. But I think a lot of that has to do with also what nation is the greatest nation for reaching out to help send missionaries to spread the gospel. The United States of America. It's that idea of sowing so that there can be reaping as well. And so the first thing we want to look at is the whole idea of sowing. And what we kind of miss out on a little bit in today's more efficient culture of farming and agriculture is that we see that how the tractors will go down the field pulling the planters and different things, and they put them all nice in straight rows, and you may even see people if they're in their gardens where they'll seed, and they'll take a stick and they'll point and put a hole and put some seeds in. The whole idea of sowing in the biblical times was you reach into your bag and you pull out that seed, and what did you do with it? Drop it one here and one here and one here? No. They would throw that seed everywhere, and it was sometimes referred to as scattering of the seed. And that's why as that sowing or that scattering, so we kind of miss out on that idea of that because, you know, if you go into somebody's garden and they're not straight rows, you think, oh, boy, they don't know what they're doing, right? But when we actually look at how they would sow, that they would sow all over the place. Now, then this also brings us into the weeding portion, which what did the Lord say about that? He said, let the weeds grow up with the crops. But what do we do in our gardens today? We weed them. We pull them out, right? But why is that? Because we leave rows. See, they didn't leave rows. They seeded the whole area. And so there's some different ideas that we can't put into today's culture because it doesn't fit with what the Bible plan is. And so how this is the idea of seeding, and you may do this when you're sowing grass seed in your yard. And I know you hear this. Whether we do it or not is another thing. But there is such a thing. It's called seeding, seeding, and overseeding. Why is that? To make sure you cover all the area. And so we know from the parable that Jesus says that the sowing is what? The preaching, the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. The sowing is the preaching. And so the idea is to preach, preach, and over-preach. Oh, come on. Get an amen there. Right? Okay? All right. Now, as we think of that, but we're to do these things to help us cultivate that mindset of abundance. And in that parable of the sower, Jesus spoke of the kingdom of heaven being like an indiscriminate sower. Now, I'll say maybe the difference was back in their day, we don't necessarily hear of them, and I know we'll say, well, they were told to tend the garden, right? But we don't hear of them having gardens to where they had a little section of cucumbers and they had a little section of sweet corn, and they had the, when they planted, it was a huge area of the same product. And our products, not to be different, are sowing that seed is the product of the gospel, and it should all be the same, no matter where that seed is sown. But this contradicts theories surrounding church growth of targeting certain statistical measurable demographics. There is no such target audience in the Bible or in this parable that we talk about of the parable of the sower. And so many times, you hear numbers and you hear things of the church today and that. But here's the fact of the matter. If everyone here would go out and indiscriminately this next week sow the word of the gospel, the seed of the word of God, it would fall on areas that need to hear it, that don't need to hear it, whatever, maybe everywhere we go, it would be presented. And then the choice would be up to those soils if they're prepared or not. The seed of the kingdom is sown with wild abandon. Now I know 1 Corinthians 14 tells us that we need to do things in a decent and orderly fashion. But we see the sowing of the gospel doesn't pick out, well, looks like, you know what, that is, that looks like a couple that we'd like to have in our congregation. So let's go over and let's set up a Bible study with them. Then we see somebody else, you know, that has obviously been kicked around by the world. And we're like, you know what? I just don't know if we want those people in our group. Shame on you. Shame on us if that's what we think. Because that gospel should be sown to all that are available. A well-known leader in the church growth movement once said that he could build a church a mile wide and only an inch deep. And unfortunately, that's the way we see a lot of churches today. But my Lord and Savior said something quite different. He just simply said this, I will build my church. You know what? As an evangelist, you know what that does for me? Whew. Whew. I don't have to worry about making the church grow. I do have a job to do, but the Lord says He's going to build the church. And so what I do is I present the seed, I sow the Word of God, and He takes care of the growth. It's almost as if we have an apostle that wrote something about that. You know, there's those to seed, there's those to plant, there's those to water. But you know what? The Lord is the one that gives the increase. And we don't get to say, well, I hope they become Christians and, well, hopefully, you know, somebody can reach them. It's never a them. We should try to reach all. And so that's what the idea of sowing is. But in this, with sowing, there's a few things I want for us to try to take to heart. Number one is give generously of your time and your talents. Give generously of your time and your talents. Recognize that generosity isn't just financial. It's a part of that, but it's not just that. You know, when somebody says, well, you know, I just don't have a lot of money that I can give to this cause. That's fine. That's fine. But then make sure that you pray. Right? Take time to pray for these events or whatever may be taking, or that you have something that you can offer. You know, we've got all these talents, and we know talents was a form of reference to financial possibilities there in the scripture. But we even refer to them as our talents, as in the things that we can do. You know where you got your talent from? From God. So use it for Him. And use it for those that He was trying to bring into His fold to grow His church. 1 Peter 4:10 says, making distribution among one another of whatever has been given to you, like true servants of the unmeasured grace of God. And that's the Bible in basic English there. But let's just look at if we based our giving on the grace of God. And so we can ask these questions, right? So, who here has ever been shorted on the grace of God? Anyone? Anyone? At minimum, in the grace of God, we've always been given just what we needed. Just enough. At minimum. But the reality of it is, if we really stop and, as the old hymn says, count your blessings, name them one by one, we're going to take a look and see that there's not a one of us that's ever been shorted on grace. There's hardly any of us that have just had enough grace just to get by, although that would be sufficient. But God has treated us all better than we deserve when it comes to His grace and His mercy. And so when we look at that and we think of that, and it's talking about this distribution, as others may have need, we compare that to the unmeasured grace of God. Have we ever, you know, taken up a class and say, you know, oh, well, I think that's enough. Do we think that's enough when it comes to God bestowing grace upon us? Keep pouring it on. Because I don't know about you, but I need the grace of God in my life. There's ways we can do this, of giving of our times and our talents, of volunteering at local shelters, mentoring a student, becoming a grandparent to a kid that doesn't have any grandparents that are in the area. Maybe even you've had professional training in your collegiate endeavors that you could use on how to use your professional skills to help run nonprofit organizations. Maybe it's a way of reaching to those that need help in the community, to give to the needy, help the hurting. And what I mean by that is you will never truly be helping until you help those that cannot help themselves. To give to somebody that already has isn't really helping. I know that may sound rough, and you may say no, but what truly helping someone is helping someone who cannot help themselves. Let that one sink in a little bit. Number two, make giving a prayerful, personal decision. Decide in your heart with your mind how and when you will give, rather than being told a specific amount. I know some denominations And you may think that sometimes in the Church of Christ, here we go, another sermon on giving. But I know some denominations that give you, because the church will have to show their W-2s to the people in the church have to show their W-2s to the church. And then the church gives you a bill for what you at least better be giving every year. Right? And so my thought is, in the church, we shouldn't need that because hopefully we're given more than the Lord has asked for us to give. Amen? And so as we look at that, there are ways we shouldn't be told a specific amount. This is a personal partnership between you and God, not based on obligation. Our next verse, 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. If you are writing out the check this morning, or you're going on to Zephy and you're punching in the numbers on what you're going to give, or you're going to the ATM to get out the machine, and all you can think about is, oh my, oh, I can't, this, if you're, then just keep it, is what God's saying. Just keep it. Because if you're going to give it begrudgingly, if it's going to be a problem, if it's going to cause you heartache, if it's going to cause you mental distress, then just keep it. Because God wants you to be a cheerful giver. God wants you to be a cheerful giver. So how does that happen? We do it not grudgingly or under compulsion, but we think about it, and we really think about it. And we stop and go back to our first point that we talked about when we talk about grace. And has God ever shortchanged us? But yet we can look into Scripture and God does ask, how has man robbed him? And you know, we can say whatever we want, but God starts off by talking about money when he's talking about what's robbed. He mentions other things that they do. But he talks about money. The passage stresses that the amount is less important than the attitude behind the gift. That we give cheerfully. I believe it was pointed out this past week that word there is where we get our word hilarious. Right? Do you give so much that you just laugh at how much, I don't even know how I can afford to give this. But man, is it great. Right? But if we look at it the other way, then we're not doing him any favors, and we're not doing ourselves any favors. And a third thing I want for us to point out on this sowing idea is avoid the scarcity mindset. Avoid the scarcity mindset. So, remember back to our New Testament illustration, the guy headed across the field and he's sowing seed. Okay? So, if you're sowing it with just as crazy as you can and you're going out there and you're sowing the seed, but we know what happens. I know what I would do. So, if I'm planting an acre field, what would I try to do? What would I try to do? What would you try to do? You've got a bag of seed. You've got an acre field. You'd start to like divide it out, right? Okay, so a quarter of the bag for a quarter of an acre. I'd try to, is that what the Bible tells us to do? No, it says if you're halfway across that field and you've sown every seed that you've got, then you've done your job. Because here's what ends up happening. If we start to think quarter and quarter and we start dividing that out in our minds, eventually what's going to happen is we're going to get to the end of the field, we're going to look in our bag, and there's still seed in there. Is that what should happen? No. We're to use all the seed in the sowing process. So avoid the scarcity mindset. In other words, as we do sing the song, all to Jesus, I surrender. In that phraseology there, the word all means all. Don't have any left over. Trust that God is available to provide your needs so you don't fear that your giving will lead to poverty. 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. If you remember that all that you have has been given to you by God, you will always have enough to give abundantly and for every good deed. You will never run out. And I'd love to be able to, I've heard Rick talk about this before, actually heard Rick Mathena talk about this past week. We'd love to be able to throw some formula up on the screen for you to show you how this works. But all I can do is really just say there is no one in this room or in this state or in this world that can outgive God. God has the power to make every grace or favor come to you in abundance. Again, abundance. Not just to get by, but in abundance. This means you will always have enough. How many times are we doing something and we're like, you know what? Oh, we could do this, but then I won't have money for this. God says, if it pleases your heart, give that. And if you really need the other, you'll find out, you know what? I didn't need that $12 drink from Starbucks. Right? Didn't need it. Because it was more valuable to give that money to somebody else. Not saying there's anything wrong with Starbucks and your $12 coffees. But if it stops you from giving to the Lord and His work as it should, there, Josh is drinking his $12. No. If it stops you from giving as you should, then it's a problem. But you know what happens is you give as you can and as you want to, then the Lord makes it so that you have that anyway. And I'm not trying to preach a health and wealth gospel, but I am preaching the law of sowing and reaping. And if you don't, aren't able to afford it, then maybe you weren't able to afford it anyway, or you didn't need it, one of the two. And besides that, people tell me Dunkin's better anyway, so I don't know. I don't drink coffee, so it doesn't matter to me. To live a self-sufficient life and have plenty for every good work and act of charity. Generosity is not a transaction, but an act of trust in God's ability to replenish you. Now let's look at the reaping portion of this. Reaping. We're told that if you sow a thought, you'll reap an action. Sow an action, you reap a habit. Sow a habit, you reap a character. Sow a character, you reap a destiny. 2 Corinthians 9:11 says, "You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God." So there it is, people. We like to throw around words today such as, is a church conservative? Right? I believe the church is the church. Some are stronger, some have work to do. Personally, I think we all have work to do. But then we see this word, liberal, liberality. Do you know the church is told to be liberal? Can I get an amen? When it comes to giving, when it comes to giving. But at what time do we most often want to become conservative? When it comes to giving, right? One of the things that I think that the church, the congregation here, whether you know it or not, as members of the congregation, but several years ago, we decided to really bless our revival speakers when they come in. Now, you may or may not know that, but I believe that since we've done that, that the congregation has received blessings beyond that you don't even know about because of physical blessings. And Paul talks about that, about if I share with you, what's the greatest thing that could be shared with you on the face of this earth, Paul talks about? The gospel. And if I share with you the gospel, then something that's down the line on that and its valueness is our financial wealth. And Paul says, if I've given to you or somebody has given to you the greatest thing that you can offer, how could you not offer them a physical blessing back? Think about that. We talked about that in Romans when we did that study. But in that reaping idea, here's two things that we want us to think about. The first one here is cultivate a cheerful, willing spirit. This is on the reaping part of that. In other words, learn to be happy with what you've gotten, you've been given, what the Lord has given you. Give out of desire to bless others, not because of guilt or pressure, but cheerful giving is an act and it stems from a changed heart that is grateful for what it has received. We've all been there at some time or another. If we haven't done it, if we haven't heard it as a kid, we've done it as a parent. You know, you're going over to somebody's house, especially holidays, as we've shared, and you know that Aunt so-and-so always makes this thing that nobody likes or something, you know. And so you tell the kids, if it's put on your plate, eat it, right? And sometimes it's hard to be grateful, right? But what do? You take it, you deal with it the best you can. Trey Mouton, when he was with us, shared a great story about that, of being somewhere. And that's why when I asked him, so do you have any things you don't like? He says, boiled chicken. Because they'd went to some family house and the kids were, he goes, whatever you take, eat. Don't say a word. And they went there. Of course, he's got four kids. And they're like, you guys like chicken? Of course, what's the kid's response? What little kid don't like chicken? Right? They're like, oh, we love chicken. And then boiled chicken came out on their plate. And they said it was rubbery. And it was, you know, you'd pull the skin, you know, and it was like. So sometimes we may get things we don't like, but that doesn't mean we can't be thankful for it. And that doesn't mean somebody didn't put in a good effort for that as well. It just may not be our thing. But when we're reaping, when we're bringing that in, do it cheerfully and with a willing spirit. And maybe next time suggest they use the grill. I don't know, you know. Okay? But anyway, listen to this story and specifically listen to how it ends. Did I read 2 Corinthians 9:7? I know we had another passage, but anyway, it's up there again. But so read this. Or as I share this story, think of this. This story is of an old told of a preacher who asked a new convert. Says, Henry, if you had 100 sheep, would you give 50 of them to the Lord's work? To which Henry, the new Christian, said, absolutely. If I had 100 sheep, I'd give 50 of them to the Lord. Said, Henry, if you had 50 cows, would you give 25 of them to the Lord's work? Of course I would, Henry said. You know, I'd be more than happy. If I had 50 cows, I would give 25 cows to the Lord's work. So once again, the preacher said, now, Henry, if you had 2 pigs, would you give one of them to the Lord's work? Oh, come on now, Henry said. That's not fair, preacher. You know I have 2 pigs. Isn't that the way it goes? We're always willing to give away what we don't have. If I won the lottery, I'd give half of it to the church. Right? Well, I'm going to steal Mike Roberts' line on that. Well, hey, if you win the lottery, you ask, would the church accept that money? His thoughts are, it's been in the devil's hands long enough. Let's turn it over to God. Right? But anyway, right? You can repent. So as we look at that, when we talk about it, we're always willing to give what we don't have, right? He would give half his sheep if he had 100 of them, but he didn't have 100. He'd give half his cows if he had 50 of them, but he didn't have it. But then the preacher hit him with where he knew he was at. And he says, how can you do that to me? You're taking away half my pigs. Why? See, that doesn't add up. But are we the same way? Have you ever thought that if you would give like that, the next time you might end up with 4 pigs? Right? See, what you do is you make sure that on those 2 pigs, you got a blue one and a pink one. You butcher the blue one after he's done his job, and you'll have more pink ones later. Right? Yeah. And so as we look at that, it's just a reminder of the cultivated attitude of cheerful, willing spirit. And maybe the best thing of it all is to focus on being a blessing. Do what you do just to bless somebody else. Do what you do so that you receive a blessing. Understand that God blesses you so that you can be a blessing to others. See yourself as a channel for His provision, not a reservoir. You see that? There's the old hymn that we sing, make me a channel of blessing. Not a reservoir to keep it to myself, but a way to bless others. Proverbs 11:25 says this, the generous man will be prosperous, and he who waters will himself be watered. You know why sometimes even Christians struggle? It's because they fail to be generous. You get nothing back when you give nothing away. From finances to support to something we all need, which is love. You give love away, it'll be given back to you in ways that you'll never be able to imagine. And that's what the Lord has done for us. The proverbial thought here is that if we give help and are kind and generous, we will be returned in kind. We will be blessed for our faithful generosity. This is not a health and wealth gospel. This is the law of sowing and reaping. This is a biblical concept taught by God, Old Testament and New. You want to be blessed? Let's start off first of all. You have been blessed? Then be a blessing. You want to be blessed more? Then bless others more. We'll just let you know. Nobody's taking it with them. You know, whenever somebody passes in the church, they keep waiting for that beneficiary check to come in. I've never seen it. Maybe it's went straight to the treasurers, I don't know. But I've never seen it. And I'm not trying to brag, but you can go and set up in your own giving estate, so that when you die and you give that money out to your kids, you can set it up so the church automatically gets a check. That's what we've done. So I know what many of you are going to go home and pray for. Oh, I hope that preacher dies today. But what I'm saying is, shouldn't that be said of all of us? Couldn't we all do that? Shouldn't we all do that? Because it's not ours. It's not my kids. It is his. Do we give like we really want to sow and how we want to reap or not? The Lord knows, and that's what matters. But I think we could all reach down and give a little better, do a little more, on for whatever that may be. Maybe it's just in our attitude in which we deal with other people. I know sometimes that gets to be a thing. Sometimes you think you just need a break. Get it away. But you know what? Maybe I just need to bless them more so that I could be blessed more. Sowing and reaping, it's not just about money. If you're here today and you're outside of Jesus Christ, we pray that you would listen to the words that are given in Scripture that tells us that we need to be obedient, that we need to be come to our Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in faith, that we believe that He is the Christ, that we believe that He is the Son of God. That's where it all starts. Then we're able to repent of our sin, confess Jesus Christ as Lord, be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, and to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then we do our best to live faithfully. What's that look like? I think for each and every one of us, it's a bit different. Because you can certainly live differently than I can, or I can live differently than you do, but it still brings glory to the Lord. What happens is we put our living faithfully in a cookie-cutter type of mentality, and we say, everybody has to live this way, everybody has to live this way, everybody has to live this way, and everybody. When last thing I checked, we're all very different people. And what the Lord wants for us to do is live for Him in our very different way for Him. That's what will bring Him on. As they lead us in our song of invitation, will you please stand and consider being a follower of Jesus Christ this day, while the day of salvation is before you and eternity lays at your footstep. We may slip into eternity for all time today. Are you ready?